Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the internet's very own one and only, there's only one out there.
Five stars,
according to our two reviews on iTunes. Please leave a review on iTunes for us. Spoon, the Tick versus the podcast, as we just said.
Spoon.
The only Tick podcast online, where we go and we are basically giving little audio commentaries to all of the episodes of the 1990s animated series. And then if we can talk Steve into sticking around, also the live action series. And then if this Amazon thing ever happens, maybe we'll do that too. But that's in the future.
And then we get into the fanfic.
Yeah. We have crossed a threshold. We are at the point of no return. We are officially now in season two of the Tick. So season two started, I remember this episode, getting tongue-tied, September 9th, 1995. So I was just a few months out of high school at this point. I was an official college boy watching cartoons on Saturday mornings when this episode aired. Where were you guys?
September
9th, 1995.
Yeah, who are we?
Who are we?
Oh, my God. This episode is all about me. Me. This series is just about me. I am Tim, by the way, and this show is all about me. And I am joined with my two lovely, very co to infinitum hosts, Steven.
Greetings, taxpayers.
There he is. And Derek.
Hello, everybody.
See, this is why I like to have you guys open the show, because I'm just constantly thinking about myself, and I forget about the little people that hoist.
You're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about wrangling all the many elements that come together for this.
No, I'm thinking about myself.
What was the date of air on this, do you say?
September 9th, 1995. So where were you guys in, on, and around that time frame?
3 days away from losing my virginity.
Seriously?
No.
I was going to say, I was like, really?
He's got the date tattooed on his arm.
I was that would have been my junior year of high school, and I was working at the movie theater, so my life mostly revolved around homework and watching movies.
Yep. You were 2 years behind me?
Well, you know, developmentally, yes.
If you take a picture of his wang, you'd see he was decades ahead.
According to the public school system, I might have been.
Monsieur Derek, where were you at this time?
Oh, in 95, I would have been turning 16. I would have been watching this at home as well. not living the wild and crazy life of a high schooler, just enjoying the insanity of a big blue guy and his little white friend.
Big blue guy, yeah.
Spelling bees and student government.
Oh, no, I didn't do either of those either.
Oh, no?
I can't spell to this day.
Steve, I do recall Steve during this time frame wearing a fedora. You also wrote for the school newspaper.
Ugh. Yes, the fedora. Wow.
Yes.
What a hipster.
I never mentioned this on the show, or I may have. I remember one time I sat at the cool table, even though I was like the least cool person at the table. I sat with all the cheerleaders. And I remember you, one of our – instead of the homecoming queen, we had the football queen. And I remember, Steve, you coming to our table. This is before I had officially met you, but I knew you by reputation.
Wow.
You came to our table to interview Don Cressman, who was the football queen that year. And,
yeah.
And I remember just sitting there thinking, who's this dork?
3 days later, I lost my virginity to Don Cressman.
Don Cressman.
He was thinking that as he was doing all the cheerleaders' algebra homework. This dork's trying to get in on my territory.
Yeah. Don's the only one I haven't gotten yet.
So do you want to come to a scholastic scrimmage meet?
Boy, would I.
Well, you plan on coming in seventh. So where? Well, let's
come cheer me on at the Mathletes.
Let's tick, yes. So here we go. Now, I have misplaced my Tick Season 2 DVD set, so I am going to be YouTubing it. But the other two guys are going to be watching it the way that it should be watched.
I have Tim's season two here.
So, yes. Hopefully by next episode I should have my Tick DVDs all in order. I don't know where I placed them.
And which stream are you using, Tim, so they know at home?
So I am watching the Superhero Television stream. This is the Tick.
Okay.
1990s cartoon series number 14.
May I add, by the way, I'm sorry, speaking of 90s nostalgia, my brother messaged me to let me know that today is the 20th anniversary of Mission Impossible.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You and I were huge fans and still are huge fans of that original movie. This is 20 years ago, Steve, you and I would have been geeking out.
We were. The De Palma version?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more masks and less John Woo. And then the thing became about stunts instead of
A whole lot of less hanging on airplanes and insanely tall buildings.
Yeah.
Well, the series as a whole is a fine series. I do feel that the original Mission Impossible is the purest and best of the series.
I agree. And I remember that trailer, which gives away the climactic ending.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Thing.
They couldn't resist.
Who was the – before they got all – oops, sorry. Before they got all the celebrities to be his boss, what was that guy's name?
John Voight?
No.
Kittredge.
Kittredge. Who played Kittredge?
Henry Cherney.
Henry Cherney, yeah. Yeah. Fantastic actor.
I didn't mean to derail us here.
That's okay. We haven't started this. We can talk about anything we want.
Okay. Good.
How big a boy are you? Okay. So let's see. Okay. So I have my YouTube up. They have their DVD set. So we're going to be watching The Little Wooden Boy in the Belly of Love. So on the count of three, we're going to press play. Well, 1, 2, 3, play. So 1, 2, 3, play. And I'm playing 6:30 a.m.
And here we are watching the opening, which I think we have nothing left to say.
The 14th time, yeah. We have nothing more to say here.
Yeah.
I will say that I believe that this episode is inspired by Ambush Bug. I think I've said this in the past to Steve, at least, in our private conversations.
Yeah, you brought that up before. In earlier episodes.
Yeah, but I blocked that out, so could you explain it again?
Any mention of Ambush Bug is never a fine thing for Steve. Steve hates Ambush Bug, I think.
Oh.
No, I don't hate him. I just know of your long love of whatever that is.
Of that Ambush Bug. Yeah, there's an issue of Ambush Bug where he creates a sidekick, and it's not a little wooden boy, but it's a little stuffed animal.
Okay.
And it's very... very similar to Little Wooden Boy.
All right. Now, the addition, though, of Blowhole
is
really what takes us to, like, inspired fine madness, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a shame they never made an action figure of him.
It would have been,
like, Galactus-sized.
Absolutely.
Cool. It would have been, like, a $150 action figure.
I enjoy the framing of it, not to be pretentious, but that lighthouse sea salt, he points. It's Blowhole, and then he's fine again. Just another one of these stoic citizens. See something incredible, and then just go back to their daily grind. And that nice little sea shanty, almost hornpipe music that Doug Katsaros composed there.
Yeah.
I like this news. Facts at 5. Go, Blowhole. Yay.
This is not a kind portrayal of hippies.
No.
They remind me of the hippie characters that you would have seen in Animaniacs. Like, it's that same style of when they try to draw realistic looking people.
I like Blowhole's overalls. It makes Blowhole look like an Irish thug. Like you go into like a place called like Paddy's or O'Malley's starting to fight.
Working down on the docks.
And this villain has one gimmick, and one gimmick only. Fish eyes that shoot bullets. And then,
not well planned, though. He's out.
He's out. Poor guy.
That's a nice Nuts. That's a nice riff from the Tick there. Those aren't hard candies.
I do like when he catches him and he you never actually see the villain, but you see the Tick open his mouth and look very inquisitively into his mouth in a minute.
This guy counts as a gimmick, right?
I guess.
So he's slippery.
He's got petroleum jelly all over him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Carmelita. Or I should say there's some mysterious.
Damn you, Tim.
Way to spoil the episode.
Second Arthur, or is it?
Just forget what I just said. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm drunk.
he's been mixing DayQuil and NyQuil.
I've been taking too much aspartame. It's causing something to happen in my body. Who is this?
She has a feature that Arthur does not appear to have in his suit.
Yeah, zoom eyes.
But binoculars. The technical term. The U.S. military calls them zoom eyes. Now, the fish mouth moved.
Yeah.
While he spoke there.
Look at the skinny legs. Even Arthur has beefier legs.
Yeah. Nice.
I love the line of, can't you just take me to jail now?
Arthur.
He is very weirdly put out there, Arthur is. He's not attracted yet. He's creeped.
Yeah.
But what a butt. They continue to lovingly fashion his rear end.
Yes. Ooh.
Now, this is another brilliant addition, these Swiss guys. And
poor Deflatormouse.
Deflatormouse.
This might be the last time he even tries to be Batman-esque right here. With his, my night realm. Who dares intrude? And then
slinks. Kim Clark. Get him. Do they officially call these guys the Swiss Army men or Swiss?
No, because he says they're not affiliated with the Swiss.
Oh.
So it's almost like they were drummed out and they got to keep their ordnance or whatever.
We're sick of the Swiss. That was a Kids in the Hall thing. Sick of the Swiss. Yeah.
And we should mention, it's official. Mickey Dolenz is out. And Rob Paulsen in
officially.
Do we know why? Tim, did you ever look into why Dolenz did not continue?
No. You know what? And I've said that one of the missions of our show is to talk to the cast. So that will definitely be something that we mention when we talk to people who might be in the know, which might be Rob Paulsen.
We're trying, man.
Yeah. Don't think we haven't tried. I haven't tried very hard, but
I mean, the restraining orders are really difficult to get through.
That's a little, they're a little full of themselves if they need restraining orders. You were the voice of Toon La. Movement denied.
Yeah.
Wow, they're moving fast. Look at the hand holding.
What are they eating? Are those omelets?
Yeah, it looks like they're crepes. Each eating two omelets.
I think they're eating crepes.
Oh,
is it crepes?
I don't know. The voice of Carmelita, which I've always found to be a very attractive voice, if that makes any sense. She was also the voice of the girl on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Which really? Jennifer Hale, yeah. I know she's done some stuff for Clone Wars. I think she was... she was not Ara Singh. She played a few female characters on there. I can't think of who they were off the top of my head.
That deploy your toothpick line is great. It's a nice little addition.
Deploy your toothpick. I used to have a Swiss Army knife, and I always thought that was weird that the toothpick was in there. I never had a use for it.
Now they make them with like USB ports.
Ben's
the diner. Did the diner just get a name?
They changed it this time.
They change it like almost every time they show it.
It looked very different than the way that we originally saw it.
It looks like Deflatormouse has been faking that injury. Look how he just took his bandaged arm out of the sling. It's just a trumped up lawsuit.
That doesn't seem like something Deflatormouse would do.
Yeah. I think he was going to sue the Swiss government, I guess. They have deep pockets.
I know a girl that looks very much like Carmelita.
Do you?
Yep, she plays the upright bass.
Oh.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. She doesn't listen to the show, so we can talk about her all day long.
Do you think you could get her into a white flying suit, Tim?
She probably she's into anime, so I could probably get her into wearing some cosplay stuff.
So apparently, no chance she's going to listen to this. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Probably. Well, she's going to be our infamous number three review.
She has some videos on YouTube of herself playing. Oh, there's Cha, of her playing the upright bass, playing tunes of from anime shows.
Speaking of anime, was there something very Japanese about that handhold effect that was just there, and that like pink nimbus of energy around it?
There was.
Is that? I'm not a student of the genre. Nice touch. Something really, not that the first season was bad, but like this second season really. They really bring in an A-plus game.
Yeah,
they're definitely starting off with a bang.
Stuff, yeah.
So here they are. They're in Pennsylvania there. It looked like they were just north of Altoona.
I see Allentown and Reading made it onto that map.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Why is Arthur shaving? There's no need. But look at that ass!
We've got to bring that up.
It rules you.
Honestly, the animators really, really did a good job with the Keisters on this show.
The Keisters.
They are definitely ass men because the crotch shots just aren't as glorious. Look at that. Ken doll.
Well, that's, once the Fox ways and standards and practices people stepped in.
The S&P.
It's hobby night.
And, Arthur's right. The Tick is really being very manipulative here.
There was that similar episode in the live action where Arthur gets a date and the Tick doesn't understand.
Now, is that the first time he's walked through the bathroom? I mean, that he didn't even think to duck?
That's how distracted he is. Are they at Bistro de Burden?
I believe they are.
I believe so, yes.
The most romantic table.
They are hitting it off.
Yeah.
And they're drinking milk. Or white Russians.
Or what is Alka-Seltzer? I don't know. More Moscato, madame? Now, there's some interesting psychosexual stuff going on in this episode. Beyond the obvious, the incestual implication that, metaphorically, both Carmelita and Arthur are children of the same father in that he created their flying suits. But being attracted to someone dressed exactly the same way as you, it's a very strange, I think, feature.
I thought you meant the Tick thrusting his wood at the camera here.
I like the Tick making the funny voice, which is something we haven't heard before.
Mm.
Little wooden boy.
Oh, little wooden boy.
Yeah, this is... And there's something almost castaway-ish about the Tick seeing a face in an inanimate object and then giving it a personality.
He's an inspired Geppetto right here.
And this rising music is another Doug Katsaros triumph.
A true artist right there. The Tick and Doug.
And the Tick is not destroying... Okay, wait, there's a little crack. He did a lot of leaping there without any destruction.
Now, to go with Tim, who loves to find connections to other shows, there's a kid's series called Ed, Edd n Eddy. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
I remember I remember it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But one of the main characters on that show had a little wooden friend who looked eerily similar to the Tick's wooden friend here.
Oh.
I feel like I want to make...
Without the arms.
A little wooden boy.
I'd buy it.
I'm going to make a little wooden boy. I will go to Lowe's and I will buy little wooden pieces to make a boy.
Yeah, all right. So you're going to put that whole girlfriend thing on the back burner for a while or what?
Well...
This is little Timmy. He has to come with us.
Yes.
Tim, it's that wooden boy project or sex. Which one do you choose?
I'm making a face too.
Um, the Tick's line, I've always found it to be very dark that he had on the roof there about the worst sin in the world being disloyalty. Something very grown up about that. And this science fiction.
A little callback to the Thrakazog episode there.
Yeah.
That's nice. Now those, the little Swiss Army guns did look like USB drives. They foresaw the future.
Also the days when they shoot lasers.
Which is what we like to call next Thursday.
Yeah. My knife has a flashlight, but it's, you know, it's not hard light. That's a nice voice. Who's doing that voice of the lead Swissman?
That's a good question.
Well, the Swiss Mister.
Is it Steve Susskind?
I think he's the voice of the father.
He's the dad. Yeah, I don't know. Could be one of the regular cast just pitching differently. Or Kevin Sean.
Yeah, it doesn't specify. It might be Steve Susskind, because I don't believe.
Hey, the whole gang's
these
here.
Guys, yeah.
Hello.
Basically just cannon fodder, these guys.
Did she just come at him with an egg beater?
Yeah, she's going to whisk him to death.
And Flatermouse is cowardice.
Those are nice boxers. How come they didn't make a boxer?
Boxer clad Arthur?
Yeah. Oh, this is so like emasculating. Strip.
Yeah.
You just met this girl. Now strip in front of her.
Yeah. Show him how pasty and pudgy and doughy you are. Now, do you guys, Derek, you're married, so it doesn't really matter so much, but if you know that you're going to, that the potential for lovemaking is on the horizon, do you choose your boxers carefully?
Ooh,
yes,
good question.
I pick the top one in the drawer.
I usually go with a colorful pair.
Oh, yeah?
Because I always find that my white ones, always they're never as white as you want them to be.
They're a little brown at times.
Listeners, you may want to pause at this point while we... I go with boxer briefs. I think they make a guy look the most masculine.
And maybe I should invest in that while looking at Blowhole.
All I can think is Bill Murray. Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something exciting.
There she goes.
The seagulls managing to stay in formation.
Just, yeah.
That's interesting. And
somebody has a little bondage fetish for Sally Vacuum there, getting her all tied up on the side of a whale.
She's still trying to continue the interview.
With the famous Barbara Walters line. Remember that? If you were a tree, what tree would you be?
What kind of tree would you be?
She famously asked that in an interview. I forget who.
It's probably like who was the king of Egypt or whatever that was back in the 70s.
The Rock?
They had to. Oh, damn it. I can't.
Not the Scorpion that. King of Egypt.
He already knows how to use that. Arthur's got some speed if he can keep up with a propeller like that.
It was Katharine Hepburn.
For love, man.
She interviewed Katharine Hepburn and widely lampooned for If You Were a Tree, What
Kind. Why did you ask me that question, you old poop?
And then these plots intersect.
Yep. Finally, you understand why this whole Blowhole thing.
Yeah. And what did the tick say? I said the Tim.
I missed it. What did he say?
Something about like unforeseen whale or something. Arthur.
There's another scene of him moving really quickly to get from the ground to the top of the roof already.
Read a book.
Oh, who's this?
And he's just been sitting in a folding chair, huh? For years? What did he eat?
Blubber. Yeah. Yeah, I invented a lot of stuff.
Steve Susskind is dead.
He is dead, so Steve Susskind. Ah.
We're still going to try to interview him.
Yeah, too soon. Too soon.
Hi, is this the estate of Steve Susskind?
I'll just go to his, you know me, I like to go to cemeteries. I'll just go find his grave. Excuse me.
We'll bring our Ouija board. We'll make it happen.
Tim, that might be a podcast idea. I mean, I know you're doing a lot, but your fixation on graves could be an interesting one. You could describe the flowers, the soil. Yeah.
The soil was dirty.
The font they use on the stone.
New Times Roman, Comic Sans.
It's all wingdings.
And Steve Susskind looks familiar. I'm looking at a picture of him. He does not have a grave. It looks like he was
A Potter's Field.
He's buried with Peter Pan and some Potter's Field off of Manhattan. It looks like he was probably cremated. So Steve Susskind, no grave to visit. I just have to shake up his urn to get an answer.
If you shake it up and turn it over. It'll say, ask what? Again later.
That's what I want done with me. I want my graves put into a magic 8-ball. Or my ashes, I mean, not my graves.
Now, I know we often talk over the Tick's speeches at the end and they can become a little rote, but this one seems especially meaningful considering what a rift there was between these two men who love each other.
We're two men.
Get a nice package shot of
right
Arthur.
There. I mean, that was straight up the alley.
Now, I never noticed, but is J.J. Vatos, is he modeled after Howard Hughes there? The beard, the long fingernails, the slippers?
I think he's supposed to be. Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay. Extra level.
That's another pull that I never thought of.
You're welcome.
It just gets deeper and deeper.
This is the kind of thing you didn't get in the last two episodes when I wasn't here.
I know. Steve's one of them there smart ones.
No, I was just away. It's a good thing you guys kept to the schedule.
Yeah. So there it is. Season 2 officially started.
Kicked off.
And I'm actually really surprised that that my YouTube kept up with the DVD nicely.
Mm. Yeah, it was pretty smooth.
Yeah.
And it kicked off with a great episode.
Yep. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Let me look at see what's coming up this season.
Well, I got the list here.
You got the list?
Armless but not harmless.
That's a really good one.
Alone Together is next, though, and that is that's in my top five for sure.
Which is that the one with
Omnipotus.
Yes.
Yes.
He just takes a bite out of Cha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think that episode's on the DVDs.
Oh,
that would be episode 15. It says right here, collection does not contain episode 15.
And I wonder why. We must find out and present.
We must investigate.
500 words or less.
Ants and Pants we got coming up. Coach Fussles.
We got later in the season, we got Santa Claus.
Which I think I'm not a fan of. Tim's not a big one on that.
Which one?
The Multiple Santa.
Yeah, Tick Loves Santa.
Multiple Santa, not a fan of that one.
That's valid. We'll talk about why.
And I think the other episode that I really dislike going forward, I'm not a fan of Tick versus Europe, but that's not until season 3.
Oh, well, yeah. We'll have to have an argument over that.
are you a fan of that one?
I dug that one, yeah.
We're going to have point counterpoint.
With the Eastern Bloc Cowboy? I don't know. So, all right. Well, there it is. Join us next time where we will, I guess, have to get on YouTube and all of us will get alone together. Well, Skadoosh. 23 Skadoosh. We'll figure it out by the end of the series what our tagline is. I don't know.
Good night, everybody.
Baba Wawa.
Hello, and welcome to yet another episode of The Tick versus the Pod. My shit. What's the name of our damn podcast?
Hello, and welcome to Pass the Popcorn.
Hello, Pass the Popcorn.
Pass the Popcorn, please.
All right, let's try this again.